I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the passage that we read together, John's Gospel, chapter 6. I'd like us to take as our text this evening, verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." When I was at college in the 1950s, a long time ago, in our final year, those of us who were in the Christian Union, we were really anxious and concerned for what sort of job we would do after we left college. And we were most concerned to know what God's will was. And we had all sorts of strange ideas. And one young man, he was young then, he's as old as I am now, but one of my friends, he believed that because of something that he had done, he made a mistake. And he believed that he was out of the will of God. And we all had this strange phrase, we wanted to be right in the center of God's will. And of course, we were young, we were untaught, and we didn't realize the things that mattered most. But we were concerned to know, what is God's will? And we had this idea that God had one career for us, one job, and that was the right one, and anything else would be a second best. And those of us who are older know that life isn't like that. We make mistakes, I've made one blunder. I went for a job, got it, and had it for about 2.5 years, and it was a disaster. But I wasn't out of the will of God. I learned an awful lot about myself in those 2.5 years. And others I've had several jobs. Another friend who was who started to work at the same school as I did, at the same time, he was there for his entire teaching career. He was there for 40 years, and he started at the school and he retired from the school. And he was a good servant of the Lord. Others of us, we went here and there and we sought to serve the Lord. Because you see, as far as what we do, there are mistakes that we make. There are side paths that we go into, but if we are the Lord's people, the Lord watches over us. But we found it difficult. We wanted to know, what does God want me to do? And that's what I want to talk about this evening. What is God's will? And in the thing that really matters, we are left in no doubt whatsoever. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What is God's will? It is God's will that sinners should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from their sin. And it doesn't matter whether you load supermarket shelves, whether you are the boss of a big company, whether you are rich or poor, those things are irrelevant because they're only for this life. They are to be used for the glory of God, but the thing that matters, the will of God, is that we should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to consider. If we would have God as our Father, then we must listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says is the Father's will. And the Lord speaks about the Father's will in this chapter. He is speaking to those Jews that asked for a sign, having had a fantastic sign given to them, and who did not believe in him. And the Lord is saying, you don't believe in me. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the Lord says that again in verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. The Lord Jesus Christ's will was the same as the Father's will, which was that he came to save those who had been given to him by his Father. And that is what the Lord is declaring here. The will of God. What is the will of God? And we know it. We know it in no uncertain terms, and the Lord gives it to us here. Now, when the Lord speaks of the will of the Father, the will of God, there are two sides to the will. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the purpose of God. He came to die for sinners. He came to die for those who had been given to him by the Father. And he said of every one of those, he wouldn't lose one of them, and he would raise them up at the last day. But the question is, how does one come to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? How does one become to be one of his people? And the Lord tells us this here. So let's hear what is the will of God, what is the will of God for you and for me, and what the Lord has in store for every one of us. This is the will of God, of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. If we are to be one of the Lord's people, the first thing that must happen is that we must see the Son. And that's the first thing that I want us to consider, seeing the Son. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ he was here on earth, but he has gone to be with his Father. He is in glory now. These words were written by John well after the Lord Jesus Christ had died and rose again and ascended. So clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ here was speaking words which applied not just to the people in front of him, but to people who had never seen him in the flesh. These words are for the likes of you and me. And he speaks of everyone who sees the Son. So what does it mean, seeing the Son? It's not just seeing in the way that I see you this evening and you see me with our natural vision. What the Lord is speaking of here is this, that everyone who sees the Son, everyone who understands who he is and why he has come, that is what is involved in seeing the Son. And as we'll see, seeing the Son in that way leads to believing in him, leads to receiving everlasting life, and ultimately leads to being raised up at the last day. So if you would be a Christian, if I would be a Christian, I must see the Son. I must understand. And that does not start so much in the Lord's dealings with us. It doesn't start so much with the Lord Jesus Christ. it starts with ourselves. Because as we hear the gospel, as we hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that begins to happen to us is that we begin to understand ourselves. We begin to understand what our relationship to God is by nature. We begin to understand that we are estranged from Him. And to see the Son involves, by the work of the Spirit, seeing that we are estranged from God. Not just as a proposition, but as a fact, as a reality. And if we are estranged from God, and if our relationship to Him by nature is one of enmity, then we begin to understand what we are like, and the Lord begins to work upon us so that we react like the publican in the temple, the tax collector, who would not so much as lift his eyes up to heaven, but he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the first revelation, the first sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, is seeing ourselves as we are in the sight of God, as unworthy sinners. So that leads us on to realize, through the teaching of God's word, through the help of God's people, that if we are to be reconciled to God, if we are to be right in God's sight, only God can supply that righteousness. And then we begin to see why the Lord Jesus Christ came. If we are to be right with God, we must be righteous in God's sight, and God alone must supply that righteousness. And then we begin to look at the Saviour. We begin to realize why he came, why he was the sort of person that he was, and what he has done for sinners. We may not see this all at once. In fact, I'm sure we won't. I didn't. But we eventually learn why the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Because he was to be pure and sinless, without Adam's sin. Because the one who was to be sacrificed was, as in the Old Testament, every animal had to be without blemish. The Lord, who was to sacrifice himself for our sins, he was to be without blemish. Understanding that is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to supply that righteousness which we cannot and do not have. We begin to realize that through the Lord Jesus Christ, God imputes to us that perfect holiness, that perfect godliness, which belonged only to Christ. We need to understand that only Christ can supply the righteousness which is so utterly lacking in ourselves. And then, in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to know that no mere man can supply that righteousness, but only the Son of God, who came down from heaven. And that's why he came, to do the will of God, to die in the place of sinners, in order to be the righteous one who suffered for the unrighteous. We, as we learn of Christ, we learn that he died in the place of sinners. That when he died upon the cross, it wasn't just some miscarriage of justice. It wasn't an example of the barbarity of the Romans and the Jews. No, it was a fulfillment of an eternal purpose, that Christ should die as a sacrifice, as a substitute on the cross, in the place of sinners. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, everyone who sees the Son, in seeing the Son, if the Spirit is working in us, we begin to understand these things. And then we see that what the Lord Jesus Christ does is that he invites sinners to believe in him. He already has done. He said to these people, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. The repentant sinner coming to the Saviour will be received by him. And knowing that Christ receives sinners is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've sought to open this up where that this is the will of God, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him and so on, but it is the will of God that we understand these things and feel these things about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no good saying, oh yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, that's true. We've got to feel it, and we've got to realize how much we have offended a holy God. To see Christ is to understand something of who he is and why he came. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't leave it there. He says that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him. We cannot see these things about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus Christ and leave it there. The second part of knowing the will of God and being obedient to God is to see Christ and to trust him, to see the Saviour, to understand who he is, and not to trust in him is the height of folly. It's also a great sin to read about, some theologians do, like some young people do at theological college, read all about these things, and yet it can be purely a thirst for academic knowledge. To understand Christ, to understand what he has done, and if we are aware of our nature, this must so affect us that when we understand who Christ is, we want to apply to him for mercy. We want to come to him. We want to receive his invitation. He that comes to me, I will not cast out. And to come to Christ for salvation is to hear of him and to believe in him. We must believe in him. And again, believing is not a merely mental activity. It's not an academic thing. Do you believe that Christ is God? Oh yes, I believe that. No Christian can respond in that way. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to trust him, is to love him for what he has done, and to come to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, to pray to the Father to receive us for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the purpose of seeing Christ is to believe in him, to trust him, and to believe his word when he promises that he will save the repentant sinner. And then this goes on to the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is that everyone who sees Christ, who understands, everyone who believes in him, what happens to us as we come to him? As we come to him, our sins are forgiven, our hearts are changed, And what does the Lord give us? He gives us everlasting life. We, who by nature are dead in trespasses and sins, we who are hurtling on to a lost eternity, we are stopped, we are forgiven, we are given new hearts, and we are given this promise of life that goes on forever and forever. But not just an endurance of life, an everlasting quality of life in the presence of God, in the presence of the Saviour. And everyone who comes to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in Him for the forgiveness of sins, desiring to be reconciled to God, everyone may have everlasting life. We are forgiven. We are given new hearts. We are given a new nature. We are turned around so that instead of running away from God, we turn towards Him and we seek to serve Him. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us is the will of God. That's why Christ sent His Son into the world, in order that Christ might be preached, and in order that multitudes of sinners from every nation under the globe should come to Christ, believing in Him and receiving everlasting life. But we live for hundreds of years, believers have died in Christ, believing in Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ says that's not all. He will come again when everyone who was given to Him by the Father is gathered in. He will come again, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come for us, and we will be raised up at the last day. If we have died and our spirits are in glory, the Lord will come with His saints. The graves will give up the dead. We shall have glorified bodies, and we will be forever with the Lord. That's the will of God. That's knowing the will of God. And if you are a believer this evening, you are certainly fulfilling the will of God. And of course, compared with this, our jobs and our mistakes, buying the wrong car, which is a heap of rubbish, and making a mistake, going to the wrong house, they might cost us money, might cost us a bit of distress for being foolish. But compared with these things are nothing compared with knowing the will of God. And the believer is truly one who is right in the center of God's will, in that mistaken way that I used to think when we were younger. The Lord will raise us up at the last day. Of course, there's a long time between believing in and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming again. And our short lives, it's a long time. So what do we do? Is believing just trusting Him? No, it involves serving Him. Remember what the Apostle Paul says. He also tells us the will of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have everlasting life, battle against their inward corruptions, serve the Lord, seek to be more like Him. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we will be raised, given glorified bodies, and we will be forever with the Lord. So, if you would be right with God, then this is His will. See Christ, believe in Him, receive eternal life, and serve Him gladly here on earth, awaiting the resurrection when he comes again. May every one of us here this evening know the will of the one who sent Christ. May we, every one of us, see the Son, believe in him, and have everlasting life. And we have the one part of it that is yet to be fulfilled, that Christ will come again and raise us up at the last day. And that is as sure as of fulfillment as all the other steps in the plan of Christ's salvation for every one of his people. May God save us, may God keep us, and may we be faithful to him. Amen.